Radio free readout begins in 5, 4, 3, 2.
Welcome, God-fearing, liberty-loving patriots, to episode 18, that is 18-28, the 28th episode of 2018, here broadcasting from Studio A, from the heart of the American Redoubt. Thank you guys for tuning in. I hope you had a blessed week. 2 weeks, well, actually, you probably heard me last Saturday, but I'm sorry for not getting episode 28 out. Last Sunday, I thought I was going to be able to pull it off, but I had to take a unannounced trip to go spend some time with a great friend and a mentor of mine. I am at the 1 year anniversary of an extremely disruptive, catastrophic event that took place in my life. And somebody was asking, what's next for you? I said, well, this is the way I look at it. The next year is all about recovering and rebuilding from the last year. So that's where I am. And this was kind of a very significant emotional, spiritual transition point for me, that 1 year point. They say, well, it takes 2 years for you to recover from something like that. Well, then I got one more year to go. that's what I was doing last week. I was out of town. I was traveling. And I thought I was going to be able to put the show together in time and just probably pre-record it and just get it uploaded and stream it from my location. I brought my Voice Pro streaming with me, my streaming Voice Pro HD with me. And I got stuck in traffic, horrible traffic. I just couldn't get there any sooner. I mean, it's as soon as I got through the door, I should have been already streaming. So I did not have the time to put it together. Everything. All my plans, my big plans, were dashed against the rocks. So anyway, thank you guys for your prayers and thank you for your support. And I'm going to try to make up for it this week. I've got a lot of stuff going on, but I wanted to make a couple of announcements here real quick. First of all, with our new VoiceStream HD Pro that we've got up and running this actually late winter, that came with a phone number for those of you who have maybe metered, you know, limited bandwidth, but you can call this number. Most everyone nowadays has unlimited free long distance. So you can call our Stream Monster number, 857. That's the area code, 857-757-1085. And call in and listen by phone. And that's, of course, that's only for our Sunday live streaming Sunday evening show at 8 p.m. Pacific. Or anytime we are live streaming at, say, an event, which we will be doing on September 14th. I got that in my notes, further down in my notes. But we've got a Patriot Expo coming up, and I'll be talking about that. But we are going to be covering that live streaming coverage, and more of that to come. So please stand by for that. Oh, and also, if you're listening to our Saturday show, if you click on at radiofreeredoubt.com, there is a link there that how to listen or listen to RFR. From that drop down, there's a couple different ways that you can listen. And the reason why there's a couple different ways, not to complicate things, but we have a Saturday show through the American Christian Network affiliate radio stations on Liberty Broadcasting on the AM and the FM dial. So if you're in the Spokane, Coeur d'Alene area, you can listen to that on your radio. If you're outside of that area, well, you can listen to the live streaming version of that, which many of you do. And then they also provide a call-in number, just like we do for the Sunday night, but it's a different number. And all of that's posted under Listen to RFR. So for Sunday nights is our streaming podcast, like you're listening to right now. And that one has a separate number because that belongs to us. That's Radio Free Redoubt's number for the live streaming on Sunday nights. The other one belongs to the American Christian Network radio station network. And they provide that. So that's why there's two different numbers. So hopefully that clarifies that. And then all of our shows are uploaded to Podbean, where we've uploaded them for over 7 years now. We've been uploading our podcast to Podbean, and that's also they're all archived there. That's also under that tab, Listen to RFR. So listen to previous shows. So hopefully we're here to disperse some courage, wisdom, discernment, and humility. That's what I pray for. That's my prayer list. I pray for courage, wisdom, and discernment and humility always. Okay, now, before I get into the news and commentary, there's something that's kind of news, but it's pre-news. You guys know that we followed the training exercise, Cascadia subduction zone earthquake event, Cascadia Rising. That was in 2016. Well, they're planning another one, a big one. Washington planning the second large-scale earthquake exercise. That's going to be in 2022. So we've got a few years to plan, but we really want to we've just got a lot to look forward to. A lot of really neat things are going to be happening with AMRON and Radio Free Redoubt as things are going to get better and smoother and easier for me. So all I can do is just continue to thank you guys for your patience and your prayers and your financial support. Ugh, I didn't want to go there, but I'm very grateful. Very, very, very grateful. And I need to set up a better system for thanking you guys who do support us financially. I need to set up a better acknowledgement thank you system than what I have, because many of you just... I don't want you to think that it's not appreciated. So I'm going to work on that. All right. I owe it to you. Okay. Let's get into the news and commentary brought to you by the author Glenn Tate. And of course, the 10 book series, the 299 days book series with the audio out. And he will also be a speaker. And so will I. At the Inland Northwest Preparedness Expo next month. I'm talking a little bit more about that in later on in the show. So first of all, from the BBC, you know, we've been following the situation in South Africa. Shockwaves are still being felt in South Africa after President Cyril Ramaphosa's controversial announcement that the country's constitution is to be changed to explicitly allow for the expropriation of land without compensation. This is racism at its finest. They're saying just because you're white, you need to give up your land, no compensation. And people are already being killed, raped, brutalized, butchered for not getting off white-owned farms who've been there for generations. But anyway, markets reacted negatively, and their currency, the rand, has continued to plummet over the last week. We'll continue to find... or bring more of these updates to you. Now, many of you are familiar with Lauren Southern. She went over there and did a video called Farmlands. Now, I talked about this before. This was the last year that she did this. And somebody sent me the link again. So since we're talking about South Africa, I thought that I would send this to you as well. Just kind of refresh this. But... somebody sent this to me. Below is a link to Lauren Southern's documentary on South African white farmers called Farmlands. I did not find it held any more information than what could be found in the most superficial research, and I have an aversion to the use of music and other such emotional manipulation. I will not manipulate. I will try not to. Well, I use music. I'm not trying to manipulate you, but it does sometimes add a nice punctuation mark on a topic or a subject or a mood you're trying to create. So maybe I am trying to emotionally manipulate you, but darn it, I'm guilty. All right. Well, Lauren did it, so I thought maybe I should do it. Still, for those who will not take time to research the issue and just need to watch a movie, well, here it is for free. Well, of course, you know, I've researched this in depth, continue to follow this, and there's more to come. I've got several irons in the fire as far as that goes. Refugee Resettlement Watch, they're reporting. You guys heard about this? Well, let me get to that in a minute. This refugee couple is arrested for lying on the refugee application with terror connections found. This person writes in this. This is Ann Corcoran writing this for Refugee Resettlement Watch. She says, I first spotted this story at Arizona Central, and my first thought was, here we go again. Although labeled as refugees, they're going to tell us anything. They aren't going to tell us anything about, you know, the nationality of the lying husband and wife who got into the U.S. during the previous administration under the president who will not be named. But after looking around, well, they actually do provide this information. So Tucson refugees accused of lying about terrorist ties to gain refugee status. Imagine that. A Tucson couple had obtained refugee status. They were arrested on Friday for charges of falsifying information on an application for permanent residency, including a question that asked about ties to known members of terrorist groups. Well, apparently they're facing 11 federal criminal counts. This is Mohammed Abdi Haraman Osman, 28, and Zinab Abdirahman Mohammed, 25, were both living in Tucson. So, violations of false swearing in an immigration matter and false statements to a government agency. Osman was found to have used a false name and nationality on his application for permanent residency, and he also denied any association with members of a terrorist organization. Well, while living in China, the couple applied for and were granted refugee status in 2014 and entered the United States, living in Tucson ever since. Well, what do we got here? Apparently, what was this? Federal authorities said an Ethiopian man using fake identity while living in Tucson was a member of the terrorist group Al-Shabaab. This was part of their robust vetting process that they promised us that they had implemented, but everybody knew otherwise anyway. And then over in Western Journal, a different story here. Democratic National Committee Chairman is saying socialism is the future of our party. Now, of course, he's going to be corrected because socialism is a bad thing, right? We're not socialism. There's a huge, this with this Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, the recent gal, that the young woman that ran for senator and made it, upsetting a 10-term incumbent Democrat in New York's 14th congressional district. Well, of course, she's been seen on several talk shows saying, well, there's a huge difference. People get upset about this democratic socialist, but there's a huge difference between socialism and democratic socialism. Lie. That's a lie. And that's what communists are trained to do, is lie. Deception. So anyway, when the DNC chairman was asked, you know, what does this tell you about where the Democratic Party's going with this democratic socialist winning the seat, he said his daughters were both texting about their excitement over Alexandria because she represents the future of our party. Democratic socialism represents the future of our party. So they're not really holding back anymore. The 28-year-old Ocasio-Cortez is a member of the Democratic Socialists of America, aka communists, who want to abolish capitalism in favor of an economy run by the state or the workers. They're going to be shareholders. That's what they call them. That's the new buzzword. Also from Refugee Resettlement Watch, Attorney General Sessions orders a review of the Justice Department's ties to the other smear hate group called the Southern Poverty Law Center. And this was also written by Ann Corcoran. Nice job. It's your fingers just flying with some great information here. Well, apparently it's been a rough year for the Southern Poverty Law Center, and deservedly so. It just got more difficult, according to Ann Corcoran, thanks to Attorney General Jeff Sessions. Now, these guys are sitting on an endowment of $300 million sitting offshore. So they're anything but Southern Poverty. Everybody's in poverty who donates to them, I guess, because they're broke. These guys are making millions, hundreds of millions of dollars. So the left-wing media, according to this article, the left-wing media loves to cite the SPLC. And here's the SPLC's hate expert in chief, Heidi Birick, on MSNBC. So what happened here was Sessions has ordered a review to make sure the Justice Department no longer partners with the SPLC and other groups that unfairly defame Americans, like the American Family Association and many others. Sessions charged it uses its hate group designations as a weapon to bully and intimidate organizations of which it simply doesn't approve. Hallelujah. Well, we're going to talk more about this later on, because that's exactly what's happening, and it's happening locally. Local sheriff in the American Redoubt, Sheriff Ozzie Knezovich, Spokane County, is using tactics right out of the SPLC's playbook. I swear they must be writing a script, I'm guessing. Unbelievable here, though. But I'm going to talk about that a little bit later. But something, you know, because they have this so-called little intelligence report or whatever they call it, and it is just nothing but smears. There's an alternative to our listeners in the law enforcement community. I know there are many of you. I hear from you guys. You work in prisons. You work in law enforcement on the street. Work for different alphabet soup agencies. There's another resource for you that provides an intelligence resource. This is from the Law Enforcement Charitable Foundation, Inc., the Law Enforcement Charitable Foundation, and their website. We'll put it in our highlights and resources posting, but this is something that I strongly encourage you to subscribe to start getting at your department or your agency. The website is www.lecf-inc.org. And I know that's kind of a mouthful, so I'm going to say it again, and then we're also going to put the highlights and resources posting this link in there for episode 1828. But that's the LECF, as in Law Enforcement Charitable Foundation, -Inc, for incorporated, -Inc.org. What do they do? Well, their mission is to protect the bonds that exist between the communities and local law enforcement through education, programs, and briefings, while offering charitable support to families of police officers killed in the line of duty, and grants to law enforcement agencies for protective equipment, educational training, and memorials. You won't see the SPLC's little so-called intelligence report providing those kind of services. I've not seen it. But I have actually one of their intelligence briefs right here, and they're mailed out really nicely done. I've gotten a few of them. This one's from the spring of 2018. Their intelligence brief, of course, covering Remembering the Fallen, letter from the LECF, fake hate crimes, things that law enforcement need to be aware of in their communities. This is a good intelligence report. Domestic threats behind anti-police signs and demonstrations. 18 police are people too, but page 11, the SPLC civil rights or hateful smear? They're asking the question. This article addresses that. SPLC, civil rights or hateful smear? Well, when we go to the article here, I'm looking, they've got a slide in this intelligence brief. You need this in your law enforcement department. Here is a slide under the previous administration. The SPLC is being cited as the source for this information to produce a slide for training U.S. troops. This is for training our military. So a DOD training slide in their PowerPoint presentations on extremism. teaching them that evangelical Christians, Orthodox Jews, and Catholics have religious extremism like Al-Qaeda and Hamas. Wow. Here's the slide. Here's a picture of the screenshot of the slide right here. And they've got a bullet list of extremist, religious extremist groups, examples. I'll read them to you. So you guys have yours for your situational awareness. So you'll know what religious extremism is too. So if you see any of these that I list, you need to call somebody and let them know that you've just seen a religious extremist. Okay, you ready for this list? At the very top, evangelical Christianity, parentheses, US/Christian. If you see an evangelical Christian, you need to make a note of it. You probably need to call somebody in authority to tell them what you've just seen. According to this slide, being used to train our troops under the previous administration. The second one is Ikhwan or Muslim Brotherhood, Egypt/Muslim. The other one, ultra-Orthodox Israel Judaism. Well, and they're going after Christian patriots for their anti-Semitism. But look right here. Ultra-Orthodox is out of Israel Judaism. Christian Identity, U.S. Christian. Of course, Christian Identity is, you know, it's the Aryan Nation, if you want to look it up. I did, actually. And what they mean by this is that, you know, that you're Aryan Nations. But they just say US/Christian. So it's what country it's out of and then what religion is tied to. Al-Qaeda, transnational Islam. Hamas is Palestinian Islamist. Abu Sayyaf, Philippines, Islam. Ku Klux Klan, U.S., Christian. Sri Ram. So evangelical Christians are right here on the same list as Islamic and Ku Klux Klan and, Catholicism. Our Catholic listeners out there, U.S., Christian. You're also on the religious extremist list. The Kahane movement, Kach Israel, K-A-C-H. Israel, Jewish. I'm an American, doggone it. So don't, I know somebody's going to correct me. Army of God, US/Christianity. Sunni Muslim, Iraq. Nation of Islam is US Islam. Swedish Defense League. I can't believe they got the Nation of Islam in here as an religious extremism. I thought they'd be giving them, the SPLC would be giving them awards. Jewish Defense League, U.S., Judaism, Fundamentalist Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, all of our Mormons out there in the listening audience, you're also a religious extremist, according to the SPLC. The Hatari, U.S., Christian, and Islamophobia. Islamophobia is at the bottom. It's its own religious extremism category, Islamophobia. Wow. Okay, so religious extremism. Islamophobia is a religious extremist view. To be fear of homosexuals, I guess. So anyway, but this is an excellent report here. The intelligence brief from the Law Enforcement Charitable Foundation, Inc. Please check it out and get that in your department or your agency today. This is good. That's good that they found a copy of this slide and included it in this article as an example of the hate smear or label lynching that the SPLC is engaged in. Unbelievable. Okay, we're going to talk a little bit about label lynching. It kind of ties in with what I'm going to talk about in segment two. So stay right there. This is Radio Free Redoubt, the voice of the American Redoubt, God-fearing, liberty-loving Christians who want peace. But are prepared for war if you're compelled or forced into it. But we're going to go for peace, right? They think we want a civil war. We want a civil war. Are they out of their minds? We'll talk about that later also. Stay right there.
This is Matt Shea with your daily news commentary, The Way I See It. The 51st state, Liberty's state. There are a lot of myths going around, and one of them is that it's not popular. Born of ignorance, and only a bunch of hicks support the move to split a state. Well, that's funny, because polls with over 10,000 responses, including KXLY, not known as a bastion of conservatism, showed an average of 74% in support. Crosscut, a socialist-leaning publication, said the movement is born of ignorance. They claim that us hicks actually do share the same values, culture, traditions, and heritage as downtown Seattle. Really? We believe the Constitution means what it says, and the Bible is the word of God. We believe in the sanctity of life, liberty, property, and the ability to defend the same. Time and again, Seattle has rejected and repudiated those ideas. The truth is, we are already two states, and the fact they have to ridicule such a popular idea proves it. At least, that's the way I see it. This is Matt Shea. Thank you for listening. Paid for by the Community Elect Matt Shea Republic.
This is segment two, brought to you by Selkirk Mountain Real Estate. Did you get that? Selkirk Mountain Real Estate. Christian, patriot, owned. Right here in the heart of the American Redoubt. If you are looking at the northern part of the panhandle of Idaho, well, give them a call or check out their website, selkirkmountainrealestate.com. Give them a call tomorrow morning and say, hey, I need some help looking for land in that area. Now, the other thing, too, that I wanted to point out to you, the editor from the Gem State Patriot, outstanding web-based news outlet covering news in the Gem State is Idaho. And I've met him several times. I've known him for years now. We run into each other at all these different events. He put together something that apparently I've mentioned before. Maybe I didn't sound like I meant it. You guys need to go check out socialismtoday.info. There are scores, dozens of articles about socialism and the threat that it is in our country, documentation that it exists, documentation about how they're infiltrating our political system and our schools and affecting our culture. They're communizing. They're spreading communism under the banner of socialism. And this website exposes that. Multiple links to multiple articles. Tons of research and work has gone into this. So please check it out. Socialismtoday.info. Great information. Please check it out. Okay. This is going to be an American Redoubt segment. So first I got some announcements. There is the Inland Northwest Freedom Fest coming up. That's going to be Friday, September 14th in the evening and all day, September 15th. Put it on your calendar. Be there. You're going to be around other patriots, God-fearing, liberty-loving patriots that know our history and our heritage, you care about it. There's going to be a Christian country concert with Susie McIntyre. That's Reba McIntyre's sister, is going to be putting that on. And Saturday, among all of these speakers, the keynote speaker is going to be David Barton from Wall Builders. Are you guys excited about that? I'm going to be interviewing several of these speakers. We're going to be covering it live. I'm not sure exactly for how long, what the time window is going to be, but I'm going to try to cover as much as I can. And I'm looking very much forward to sitting down and interviewing Dan Barton from Wall Builders, among several others. And I've got the Freedom Fest, their flyer. And that's going to be at what's called Barn Again. It's on north on US 95. Like you're going from Coeur d'Alene to Sandpoint. And just before you get to Sandpoint, probably what, 15, 20 miles? Right before then is a little community called Kokolala. Many of you guys are familiar with that because we've held events, but never at this place. This is the gigantuous red barn, the red and white barn on the left side of the highway. When you're on your way to Sandpoint, just outside of Kokolala. But if you go to the website there's the specific address. Just punch that into your GPS. It'll take you right to it. But you're going north on Highway 95 as you go through Kokolala on the left, the gigantuous red barn really cool. But Saturday, David Barton speaking, Pastor Tim Remington. He was the one that was gunned down in Coeur d'Alene a couple years ago, point blank with a .45 auto, and he survived. God definitely had a plan for him. And he does wonderful work at his church. Great recovery, dependence, chemical and alcohol dependence ministry there at his church, The Altar. Dan Fisher will be there. Thomas Fletcher, Representative Heather Scott, another great favorite. Another great favorite is a sheriff, Daryl Wheeler, Margaret Fillat, Pastor Steve Brown from the North Summit Church, Dr. John Denny from Priest River Community Church, Pastor Steve Bradshaw from Kokalala Cowboy Church. That is a neat church. I've only been there once, but what a neat place. That event's going on, and we're looking forward to that. And what else we got here? Oh, yes, the two-day preparedness workshop and presentation and exhibits at the Inland Northwest Preparedness Expo in Sandpoint, Idaho, at the Bonner County Fairgrounds, September 22nd through the 23rd. I will be there. Glenn Tate will be there. He's speaking. Several workshops, several ways for you to meet people, begin networking, find others in your community. And also our friends from Strategic Landscape Design will also be there. I need to find out what other of our sponsors might be there too, so I can let you know to meet those guys. Shelby Gallagher is also speaking, the author from A Great State. We interviewed her, a month and a half ago? She's going to be there as well. And here's some of the topics that's going to be covered. Water purification and storage, food storage, medicinal herbs, wood gas, and other solar solutions for power. Ladies first, selecting your first handgun. Intro to emergency communications. I'll be doing that. Radio communications in the field. Go bags for home, work, and travel. First responder, first aid. This is just great basic skills every American should have, I think, for being self-reliant, to be able to, this is your way of putting on a life vest. So you're just like being in an airplane. You know, you help the person to your left or the right if they're unconscious, you know, get their mask on. But first you got to get yours on, right? You can't help others if you're passing out because you don't have your oxygen mask on. Or you can't help somebody that's drowning while you're drowning. This is a way for you to get your life vest on first. Then you can help others. So exhibitors, at the top of the list, Ameron. Well, it's just because it's alphabetical. But Ameron, Apocalypse Well Pumps, Be Safe Security, Black Rifle Real Estate, Beyond the Grid Outfitters, Complete Cabin and Home, Northwind Tools, Off-Grid 48 Degrees, Pistol Prof Gun Training, 7K Metals. Oh, man, there's just a bunch. Thrive, freeze-dried foods, of course. They're at everything. Renko Arms, Young Living Essential Oils, various county services. So it's only $3 to get in. And $2 if you bring a non-perishable food donation. And if you're under 12, it's free. So you can go learn more by going to INW, as in Inland Northwest, INWPrepExpo.com. That'll also be linked in our highlights and resources posting. All right, I've got I've got a few letters here, listener letters, and I haven't done this for a while, but I get these in, and I'd like to share them with you guys. These are relevant, I think, and something that I'd like to do from time to time. I should do more of it, actually, but this person says, I'm planning a trip to the Panhandle area, talking about Idaho, evidently. It's the only state in the American Redoubt that I know of with a panhandle. As a type of scouting trip for if I want to move there, any suggestions for where I should visit? Your brother in Christ. Okay, thank you. It's really great to hear from you. I did respond to him. And welcome to the American Redoubt. Okay, so where you should visit? Boy, I don't have enough information to adequately answer that. But I'm going to shoot from the hip and hope that I hit my mark here and answer your question. It depends on what you're looking for. I don't know what your needs are as far as, income or, if it's something where you travel and you need to be close to an international airport or You need you deal with a lot of supplies, you know, with Katy armor. You know, they had to be somewhat close to Spokane because of the steel supplier that they had to have close access to, you know, things like that. So I'm not sure where your situation is, but I can tell you that the number one hotspot location where people are strategically relocating to has been over the last couple of years, few years, is Kootenai County, Idaho. That's the Coeur d'Alene area right across the border from Spokane, Washington. Now, in the last year and a half, prices have absolutely gone to ludicrous speed. They've gone plaid. And a home that was $150,000 three and a half, four years ago is now about $400,000. It's just absolutely crazy. And so it's becoming really untenable for most people unless you sell a house in California for $780,000 that you only bought for $200,000 25 years ago. You know, if you're not in that kind of a situation, I don't know how people are affording it. So, but right across Kootenai County is still, you know, the freedom of Idaho in comparison to Washington State. But you're still close to the jobs. And a lot of people live in Kootenai County and they commute to Spokane where the higher paying jobs are. But you're starting to see more and more, you know, industry and better paying jobs, you know, come into the Idaho side as well. So people are just they're willing to commute. So the counties, especially to the north, but also to the east and south of Kootenai County, are really starting to become your up-and-coming hot spots where people are moving to. Bonner County is immediately to the north. And then up in Boundary County, where our sponsors for this segment are located, Selkirk Mountain Real Estate, they are rapidly becoming the preferred places where people are moving to. And of course, there's Kalispell, Montana. There's also Stevens County, a very, you know, strong Patriot territory over there. But you're in eastern Washington, but you're also in the state of Liberty. So that could be a good thing, at least in a couple of years down the road. Let's hope so, right? So I hope that helps a little bit. Boise is probably the fastest growing city, and Idaho being the fastest growing state. But you know, it's also High Plains Desert, a little bit different demographics, and it's really growing fast and getting expensive there as well. I'm not sure what your lifestyle is that you're looking for. South of Coeur d'Alene, you get down into the Palouse, the communities where that are featured in James Rawls' books, Patriots, are still affordable and available. But you're getting further away from airports and infrastructure and higher paying jobs and so on. So hopefully that helps a little bit, and Godspeed to you. The best of luck, and let me know how it went. I'd love to hear your feedback. Okay, now another one. JJS, I've long been considering relocating the family to the American Redoubt, North Idaho or Wyoming, but one main obstacle has lingered: concern over an eruption from Yellowstone. And he says, I'm curious, what are your thoughts on it? How do you consider preparing for or mitigating the effects of an eruption from the supervolcano? Perhaps I'm overlooking something that should be easing my concerns in this area. I'm interested in hearing what thoughts / planning you've put into this risk. Okay, I consider this an extremely, this falls into the medium to low probability, but catastrophic category. In other words, it's not likely going to happen anytime soon or in my lifetime, but when it does, whoever's lifetime it's in, they're going to be affected. The supervolcano at Yellowstone will affect the world. It will affect food production. It will be a continent changer. And now, as a Christian, I believe that it's all going to burn one day. And I believe that everything's going to be leveled. I take Jesus' words literally when he said, one day, not one stone will be left on top of the other. All this is going to be, and read through Revelation, there will be a great earthquake unlike anything ever felt before. I believe that all of this seismic activity, although we're going to have earthquakes and even devastating earthquakes and even volcano eruptions, something on this magnitude, inside of me, I feel like God's kind of saving that stuff up for the grand finale. We may or may not even be here for it. And it's going to be on such a global scale of all types of geological activity that I don't think it's really going to matter a whole lot where you live. I don't think there's going to be really a sweet, safe spot from between tsunamis and earthquakes and everything else. So I don't worry about it. I think that the probability of a social, political, and economic eruption is so much higher on the scale that as far as in terms of survivability, the American Redoubt is only one of just a small handful of places I'd really want to be in the whole list of places I really would not want to be. Or in contrast to the list of places I would not want to be, the American Redoubt is absolutely up there on the list. That's where I want to be. And so hopefully that answers your questions. I don't put any thought into it whatsoever. There's going to be some major poop hitting the fan at some point in the future. And everybody will be affected. And when that happens, I don't think it's really going to matter a whole lot. But in the interim, I think the socio-political and economic catastrophes are what we should be thinking on and preparing. It doesn't mean I would live on a fault line on purpose. And I personally do not want to live right there in Yellowstone. But because they have seismic activity all the time, a 7-point-something earthquake, people are going to die. You know, and that doesn't have to be the big one for that to happen. I like living further away from, seismic and geothermal activity, like active volcanoes. Okay, let's see. There's another one, then we'll take a break here. And this is a big one. Somebody sent this to me. They said, hey, JJS, I wrote this for a forum that is for like-minded folk, but I thought I would share it with you since I mentioned you and Rawls in it. We have been consistently disappointed after moving to the American Redoubt, and I hope to see some change for the better. Now, this is what he wrote on this forum, apparently. It's a little lengthy, so bear with me. Sit back, have a cup of coffee. I've noticed a few things since moving to the American Redoubt, specifically Northern Idaho. And I was wondering if I was the only one. I've noticed these things, especially among like, quote unquote, like-minded people in the area. Some of it is OPSEC. Some of it could be shyness. Some of it could be skepticism that we will stay. I'm not sure. But it's taken so far that unless you are a family or a very good friend, no one will have anything to do with you except for basic politeness and occasional conversation. People are not directly friendly, only superficially friendly. People are clammy and not very open about virtually anything. People are unkind toward people who work in certain fields, in my case, computers. People are very disorganized. This applies to the outward state of their homes and to the condition of the vehicles. Sounds like you drove by my place. But most of all, to organization when it comes to community building and groups of mutual interest like neighborhood protection groups. Not to mention, people don't know how to be on time or come when they said they will come. There is no outreach that is openly advertised. There are no trainers in state that teach skills in a professional, organized, and advertised way, from what I can tell. A little part-time firearms training school and hidden in the hills doesn't count. Why not? Okay, I'll withhold my statements. Everyone hides to their retreats. Everyone is too busy to take time to network, etc. We were told by people like Rawls or John Jacob Schmidt, isn't even using his real name, that there was community and organization up here, but that really only appears to be immediately around where people like them live. We don't see either one of them actively involved in a public visible at get-togethers or large events in a public way in the community. Instead, we hear them behind a microphone or behind a keyboard via a blog. We don't see leaders who tell people to come here and let everyone fend for themselves on their own little islands. I don't mean that we aren't struggling financially or even skill-wise, but more socially and on a community level. I also don't want to imply I'm not grateful to people like Rawls or JJS, but I think there are a lot of people like us who feel like we moved to the wilderness on our own. That's called self-reliance. But especially those of us in the Sandpoint area, there seems to be more activity closer to Rawls and JJS, closer to Coeur d'Alene. When I say things like community, I don't mean I need to know everything you're doing. I don't need to know what preps you have or your action plans. I mean people getting to know their immediate neighbors, being friendly, offering to help, inquiring into developing mutual neighborhood protection. Where I live, we live down a road, then down two more dirt roads, but we and our neighbors are isolated enough that we can easily have a community up here in the hills outside of town. We have met three neighbors since we moved here in April. They came to us and pretty much implied we should be prepared and told us a little of their stories. We are like-minded, but since then they haven't been back. We have since gone to one of their houses to buy chicken eggs and pork, which is great. But I've asked if we could speak about what the defensive plan is for the community, and I get stonewalled. The original couple, who have been up here since the 70s, put off an air of, you won't last, and so you aren't worth our time, kind of thing. I noticed this type of attitude develop, especially after I mentioned the type of work I do, computer. We've also noticed an attitude toward those who are on-grid from those who are off-grid, especially, we are the last one on our road who are on-grid. The rest beyond us are off-grid. It's a more of a you're a wannabe kind of thing. Sure, my wife and I grew up in the suburbs, but we're not stupid and we learn quickly. We've learned a lot in the few months that we've lived here and have been getting along just fine. We've grown our first bountiful, organic, non-GMO garden. Good job. With no pesticides or herbicides, we bought a tractor and learned how to use it and several implements to improve the property. We have been cutting down trees and processing firewood. We brought our first four-wheel drive truck and learned how to drive in deep mud and a bunch of other things we only read about previously. So with all that said, I want to sum this up and say that I wish like-minded folk in the area would not be so standoffish and arrogant. Especially if you are like us and moved here from the city or suburbs. All the great authors and leaders in the movement preach community building at the local level and being good Christians, friendly and helpful, yet we have seen just the total opposite in many cases and a total lack of organization or leadership. We shouldn't have to jump through hoops to go through initiation to become part of the community or lack thereof. That type of attitude just causes people to give up, clam up, and do the same thing. Or just leave for a my realistic community where people actually do what they claim. Some places like that exist, but usually in states where the politics in the cities are ruining those states, like North Carolina. Also, if you're going to take the time to teach a course, be professional about it, provide a clean and organized venue, advertise really well, and be on time. We need communities scattered around, not conclaves. Not one-man army wannabes, not arrogant people who look down on new people who are transitioning and trying to learn. People who want to provide a better way of life and community for their families without turning it into suburbia may apply. I know the first one to complain gets the duty, and I will help, but I'm not a leader. I'm an instigator at best. We did find a church, but even people who moved here for the same reasons are clammy and closed mouth. Okay, awesome. This is awesome. This is an awesome opportunity, I mean. But yes, I would absolutely love to address this. I'm looking forward to this. Okay, I have heard this kind of feedback before. Not often, but I would say it stands to reason. One person speaking up likely represents a larger group sentiment. Now, certainly not the majority, but First of all, how do you know I'm not using my real name? And secondly, who cares if I am or not? Not even his real name. So? I mean, it's evident that my message is getting out there, and I want you to focus on the message more than the messenger. So it doesn't matter if my name is really Rumpelstiltskin or Senator Russ Fulcher, which it's not actually either one of those. And you know what's funny? At the very beginning, I get scolded by a listener. It's like, you're just trying to make a name for yourself. Coming up with a blog. Nobody knows who you are. And you're just trying to make a name for myself. I'm like, holy smokes. I mean, I go through steps to use an alias because I don't want to make a name for myself. I don't want the focus to be on me. I'm not trying to be a YouTube star and make it all about me and how many fans I can have. This is something I felt passionate about, and I saw it as a solution, the American Redoubt, as a solution for having a hope of surviving what's coming to our country. If we can get as many like-minded people to concentrate into geographically an area as possible, I believe that we have a very good chance of influencing and impacting the type of a culture that comes out the other side of that with our traditional heritage and values and ideals in place. And I'm like, you're just doing this to make money. I'm like, well, that's awesome. 7 years later, where's the money? And trying to make a name for myself. That's why I chose John Jacob Schmidt. His name is my name too. My name is his name too. It's not me. It's all of us. See what's going on in our country. We all feel the same way. We're all sharing the same frustrations and concerns, and hopefully the same goals as far as preserving our traditional American heritage. Whoa. All right. So, all right. Now let me move on. Okay. I have seen jerks in every part of the world I've ever been in. And I've seen very selfless, good people from all walks of life in every country I've ever been in. But here, very common, what I hear from people that move here from Seattle or Portland or the Chicago area or from the greater Denver area, whatever, they say, people are so nice here. This is what I hear more than anything. I can't believe how nice people are here. They smile. They look at you in the eye. They open doors for you. They wave you out into traffic when they can see that you're stuck trying to get out of a parking lot and there's all this traffic. People will stop and wave you out. They stop on the side of the road to see if you're okay when you're broken down. This is what I hear from people. People are nice. They're really nice. Now, he says, people are unkind toward people who work in certain fields, in my case, computers. Now, I personally haven't seen anybody treat somebody bad who works in computers. I don't treat people that way, and I don't know anyone who does. But, of course, you're on the receiving end of that because you're in – I don't know. So I know that I'm not unkind toward people who work in any given field. But the overwhelming majority of people I've encountered who work in computers for a living are narcissistic. They're arrogant jerks who look down their noses at everyone else as stupid idiots because they're not savvy on computers. They can't navigate their way around them as well. And they're like scorned. Oh, and engineers, same way. Nitpicky, narcissistic, egomaniacs. So, but I haven't seen that. I don't think I treat anybody differently because I haven't seen other people do it either. Now, as far as organization and building groups of mutual interest and hiding in their retreats, that's something that I've been trying to overcome by promoting and encouraging preppers to become patriots and for patriots to become more self-reliant because most of them don't have more than 3 days worth of food stored up, but they're hard charging in the local community trying to, you know, fight for property rights or fight for water rights or whatever it is. And they're patriots and they believe in all of our heritage, but they're not, if the lights go out, they're just completely, they're going to be standing there with their hand out. I'm trying to get those guys to be more self-reliant. And the preppers, I'm trying to get them to get out of that bunker mentality and get more engaged in their community and the political process. Because the whole point is preparing is so that you are not starving and worrying about your children starving and you're not freezing to death and you're not chopping up your piano for firewood because you've taken care of all that stuff. Now you can focus on rebuilding because somebody else has got a plan about what the next phase of America is going to look like and what your community is going to look like. And if you're starving, you can't focus on having a role in that. That's the purpose of preparing. Okay. Now, you don't see me actively involved in a visible way at get-togethers or events, really. I've aggressively advertised the God and Country celebrations, the Northwest Patriot Preparedness Expos in Prosser, where I've spoken and taught workshops for at least the past 5 years. I've spoken at several other events. I've been at Second Amendment rallies. I've been, Liberty State 51st rallies. I just advertised at the beginning of the segment upcoming Prepper and Patriot events that are coming up, and I'm actively involved with the American Redoubt Radio Operators Network, attending meetings, teaching workshops, and more for years. I've met hundreds. I've literally shaken hands, looked in the eye, shaken hands, and met hundreds, if not thousands, of patriots at these events over the years. It's so great to hear your voice and finally meet you in person. I'm like, well, it's so great to meet you in person. This is a privilege for me. You guys are my heroes. You're the ones that are making it happen. But if you live right here in the heart of the American Redoubt, where have you been? Why haven't you attended any of these rallies or trainings or other events where myself and scores of others have taught workshops for bloody free? And I present my workshops in a professional, organized manner. You walk away learning stuff. Everything from home defense, food prep, food storage, communications, intelligence, computer and internet security, Christian and biblical living, political activism. There are people teaching this stuff all the time at these events. God and Country was a classic example. Now, maybe you just moved here and since April. Okay, that's fine. You're just getting settled in. You just got here in April. You're doing exactly what you should be doing. You focus on getting your own property up to speed and yourself settled in. And then in September, you can attend both of these events because both of them are in the Sandpoint area. Perfect. I'd love to meet you. Shake your hand. I barely survived the most catastrophic thing that's ever happened to me 1 year ago. And this next year is a year of rebuilding and recovery. Alone. Without my helpmate. And despite that, I've still managed to keep one foot in front of the other, and I've continued to do my best to stay on mission. I don't want to hear crap from anybody about me hiding behind a microphone and not actually doing things out into the public. I use a microphone because I can more effectively and efficiently reach way more people than if I stood on a street corner or if I just showed up at rallies where 30 or 100 people are in the audience. Although I do that too. But with my microphone, I can reach hundreds of thousands of people, and I have. Radio Free Redoubt, Amron, Redoubt News, Survival Blog, Charles Carroll Society, many more of us have provided countless volumes of information, news, resources, tools, and skills for you to go forward with and be self-reliant. Besides, I can't speak for James Rawls. We have all provided tens of thousands of people with resources and information and encouragement and hopefully inspiration to become more self-reliant. It might do you well to go to California or Portland or Seattle or the greater Chicago area, rent an apartment for about 6 months so you can be reminded why you now live here and not there. Are you better off here? Yes or no? Ask that. Where do you feel suffocated by a creeping communist godless agenda? There or here? You're just getting started. There isn't more activity around me, and I don't live in Coeur d'Alene. I did years ago. But I travel, and I've traveled and spoken and taught in all of the American Redoubt states and beyond, in occupied territory, and in other conservative pockets across the country. You know what I see? Patriots. Patriots right here in the American Redoubt and elsewhere who are getting involved and engaged, and they're networking and they're building communities amongst themselves. I know there are some folks who have struggled building community and networks with others of like mind, but I know of many, many groups and individuals and networks who have spent years developing relationships and trust, and they have that, what you're describing. And it didn't happen overnight. And many frustrations and many groups there are people that rejected their efforts. It takes time. It takes time to vet people. And you meet people who 3 years from now, you don't have anything to do with them, but you're in a new group of people and it evolves. And in my experience, based on my observations, those who face the biggest challenges building trust and relationship and community with others, the problem is usually right there in the mirror. The folks who just can't seem to get connected with others usually have issues and then blame everyone else. I'm not saying that's the case with you. It may be coming for you, and it just simply hasn't happened for you yet. Now, having said that, I have to acknowledge that there are also arrogant people out there. And to add to the list of narcissists, I would have to include a large number of preppers. I've seen it. Folks who have been working on their preps for years, and they seem to have it all. They've watched enough dystopian movies and read enough books that their paranoia has fully matured. And they're convinced everyone who doesn't have as much as them are potential future beggars and parasites at best, or future enemies at worst. I've seen it. They're generally not patriots, although they're patriotic. And they call themselves Christians. Their attitude is anything but. I've literally heard people say, when it all goes down, anybody even near my gate, there's only one reason why they're there, and they're going to get shot. Really? Wow, that's Christian. That very well could be just who you drew the short straw on and got for neighbors. If that's the case, I'm sorry. But I have personally seen one group after another form, and relationships built, and friendships form. Strong bonds. Be patient. You know what, though? It is rarely ever among neighbors for precisely the reasons or the situations that you described. Most of them are formed among Amron members or among the congregation in your churches and onesie-twosies. Not everybody in the congregation. And prepper networks. And they're done, I reiterate, over a long time. Trust is hard to come by, and it's hard won, and for good reason. So be patient. I invite you to come to the events I announced at the beginning of the show. Those will be on the highlights and resources page also. And I mentioned them last Saturday on that show. So anyway, I hope I adequately addressed that. I understand where you're coming from. There are some other people that feel the same way, but I see so many people that are doing it. I don't know if it's a personality thing. Some people just got it and some people don't. They struggle with it, or you just haven't ran into the right people yet. But the other thing too is people are a little on the paranoid, edgy side, you know, for right reasons. So I got a word for those of you who are already established, for the seasoned and experienced preppers. Two things. First of all, new folks coming into the area have taken a massive leap and an extremely scary and disruptive, bold, courageous step to uproot their lives, many of them their businesses, and strategically relocate to the American Redoubt. That is commendable. They need mentoring and guidance without being shunned. It's in your best interest to invest in those new pioneers whose covered wagons just landed in your community. While newly relocated patriots and preppers are getting their wobbly feet under them and manning the heck up, don't be a jerk to them. Be a Christian neighbor. Number two, not everyone who moves into your neighborhood is an FBI informant trying to take you down. So stop treating everyone like they are. Use OPSEC and, of course, you never tell anyone everything anyway, but you have to allow yourself to trust others, at least to a degree, that you can function as a community. because you all benefit. We all benefit when you do that. They are your fellow countrymen, after all, and you're not going to rebuild anything after a catastrophic event without community. And that needs to begin now. We'll be right back.
Hey everyone, this is Glenn Tate. You're listening to Radio Free Redoubt and John Jacob Schmidt. His name is my name too.
Our freedom stems from the fact that America is a republic, founded on a constitution, and dedicated to the principle of democracy and the worth of the individual. The people rule. Another primary reason for the development of citizenship responsibility is that we are living in an era marked by the growth of socialism. To a substantial degree, in one form or another, socialism has spread the shadow of human regimentation over most of the nations of the earth. And the shadow is encroaching upon our own liberty. The world is caught in an era of socialist expansion. Most of the nations are affected. And America is a target. In fact, the number one target of both the socialist and the communist. If we permit our great system to crumble through the apathy of our citizenship, we shall lose not only our freedom, but our prosperity and our still brighter future.
Welcome back to the Voice of the American Redoubt, and this is segment three. Segment three is brought to you by our great friends over there at Strategic Landscape Design, longtime supporters of Radio Free Redoubt, and you will get a chance to meet them in person and hear a presentation by them as well at the upcoming preparedness, Inland Northwest Preparedness Expo next month. Strategic Landscape Design, helping you to plan your property with integrating the primary needs of water access, food supply, energy production, and security features built into your landscaping and the layout of your land. And also, if you're looking for property and you want input before even making your purchase, that's another service that they provide. So think about checking them out today, strategiclandscapedesign.com, helping you to achieve a life of liberty. All right, now, man, there is, I'll tell you what, there's some spiritual warfare going on. Heavy attacks, just blowing up good people, the conservative, in this case, we got the Republican Party, the conservative, the folks at the conservative patriot community, the Republican Party locally in the heart of the American Redoubt, the wonderful folks up there at Marble, the Marble community, and Representative Matt Shea, Anthony Bosworth, Liberty State, the Liberty State Movement, the 51st State Movement is all coming under attack right now. So before I get into it, I think this is very appropriate. I read this this morning in my Bible reading. It's from Psalm 64. And this is really applicable right now. And all of us need your prayers and your support, your unwavering support. But this is from Psalm 64. It said, "Hear my voice, O God, in my meditation. Preserve my life from fear of the enemy. Hide me from the secret plots of the wicked, from the rebellion of the workers of iniquity, who sharpen their tongues like a sword and bend their bows to shoot their arrows, bitter words, that they may shoot in secret at the blameless. Suddenly they shoot at him and do not fear. They encourage themselves in an evil matter. They talk of laying snares secretly. They say, 'Who will see them?' They devise iniquities. We have perfected a shrewd scheme. Both the inward thought and the heart of a man are deep. But God shall shoot at them with an arrow. Suddenly they shall be wounded. So he will make them stumble over their own tongue. And all who see them shall flee away. All men shall fear and shall declare the works of God, for they shall wisely consider his doing. The righteous shall be glad in the Lord and trust in him, and all the upright in heart shall glory." There are some people who are sharpening their tongues like a sword and working iniquity, secret plots. of wicked people. And there are several people that need to be lifted up in prayer. You'll see at the bottom of RadioFreeRedoubt.com, we have a banner that we've proudly hosted there that goes to the Northwest Grassroots. They have done absolutely an amazing job in the Spokane County area of Eastern Washington, bringing in guest speakers, being engaged in the community, educating people on our heritage and our history. And John and Cecily have been heading that up for a long time. Now, Cecily, John's wife, just Cecily Wright, was the Spokane GOP chair. She was voted in as the chair for the Spokane County Republican Party. This has been kind of going on for a little while, but there was a young man by the name of James Alsup. He has been tagged, basically label lynched. Lynching him through labels, trying to take him out. He's a prolific YouTuber, developed quite a following. And so I just want to read a little bit here from the Spokesman Review, because Cecily Wright ended up resigning for holding this James Alsup as a guest speaker. About a month after saying, "We don't want him, we denounce all racism of all sorts, we don't want him, we have nothing to do with him," because this James Alsup was actually voted in, excuse me, on the west side of the state, as a precinct committee officer, a PCO. It's an elected position. Well, apparently they found out that he's got alt-right views. Well, this is what they have to say. Alt-right provocateur James Alsup. Now, remember, this is coming from the Spokesman Review, okay? They have used SPLC-type tactics to malign and even assist in label lynching people, applying, you know, racist and hate and white supremacy and all this other stuff against people that it is absolutely inappropriately labeling people. Alt-right provocateur James Alsup, whose views have been widely condemned as racist. Stop right there. Isn't President Trump's views also widely condemned as racist because he wants to secure our borders? So that should carry no weight. But this is the what's also known as the Socialist Review, whose views have been widely condemned as racist, is introduced by Cecily Wright, the chairwoman of the Spokane County Republican Party, during a July 11th meeting at the local conservative group Northwest Grassroots. The GOP announced Wright's resignation Wednesday evening, and of course she went on to say, you know, "I made a horrible mistake in judgment. I should not have had him as a guest speaker." But a prolific YouTuber known for racist taunts and extreme stances on immigration policy, Alsup, who now belongs to a white separatist group called Identity Europa, was invited to speak at the meeting to dispel the label he has been identified with as a racist and white supremacist, a chance to defend and explain himself, Cecily Wright said in a statement Tuesday. Gesturing to a slideshow presentation, Wright had introduced Alsup as a victim of label lynching. Well, this is funny, because then they run to the leftist and get their input. Tina Poblawski, the chairwoman of the Washington State Democratic Party, Democratic Socialists, I mean Communist, had demanded that Wright resign in a statement Wednesday morning, calling attention to the unseemly use of the term lynching to describe perceived slights against Alsup. The phrase label lynching has recently gained popularity with some conservative factions. No, it's not a fringe thing. We're all using it. To describe misportrayals by political opponents and the media. It has been used by State Representative Matt Shea, Republican Spokane Valley. Not only did Cecily Wright defend James Alsup, she introduced him as the victim of label lynching, a grotesquely uninformed phrase that trivializes the violence inflicted on people of color by actual lynchings through our country's history, Podlawski said. And this wasn't just a slip of the tongue. Cecily's prepared introduction of Alsup centered around the idea of label lynching. She even included an image of a noose in her presentation. Well, okay, Socialist Review, would you prefer that we use the term character assassination? Oh, that's just, that's doesn't do, that's a unseemly description of elected officials who have been assassinated in the past. Well, no. Okay, lynching is a mob mentality of unlawfully, wrongly taking matters into their own hands to kill somebody, to destroy somebody. And in this case, they're using labels, mob mentality, leftist organizations, mobbing somebody without due process and destroying their character, assassinating their character, or in other words, lynching them, destroying them, killing them and their message by using labels, label lynching. I love the term. It is so, it's really, it is a great colloquialism to describe what the left has been using social media and the slipstream media for quite some time. And that's exactly what they did, because I'll tell you what, James Alsup, he is known mostly for, I mean, in the news, for marching with the KKK Charleston last year? Okay, he showed up to an event called Unite the Right. Unite the Right. It's the right political spectrum, on the right side of the political aisle, and he shows up to do his YouTube blogging. Now, this Unite the Right was all groups of conservatives showing up. And guess who else shows up? A handful of neo-Nazis and some KKK guys also show up. Well, that's what the media focuses in on. And this guy is speaking at the event, blogging or vlogging from the event, and marching in this demonstration of destroying our heritage and the statues and flags and standing for closing our borders and standing for, the immigration problem that's out of control, things that we are concerned about. But, of course, you know, they have got him made out to be a white supremacist. Now, I've watched many of his videos and snippets of his videos. I haven't watched everything that he's put out, but I've seen his main keynote speaking presentations, and I've seen him point out things such as white males are under attack in America. This country was founded by Europeans, and specifically and more notably European men of European descent. And he says we're losing that facet, that identity of a nation. Now it's basically a crime to be a white male in America, and every other group is elevated or given a pass when they act inappropriately, unless you're a white male. That's kind of been his message. Now, all of the stuff that I've seen so far, I have not seen him say anything white supremacist, like whites are a superior race and we should kill anybody who's not white or anything like that. I've never seen anything like that. What I've seen him do is state what we all see, and I agree with the statements that I have seen, and that is white males are being maligned and demonized. And this racial equality thing is flipped, where there's actually inequality against another race. They call, well, you've been the oppressors for years. So now something that our grandparents or great, great grandparents or the founders of this country did or owned slaves or whatever has nothing to do with us. So, matter of fact, my grandfather came over here way after slavery was already abolished from Scotland. And I have a Scottish and Norwegian ancestry. Those guys were always jumping on their boats and crossing the pond and raping and pillaging and plundering and taking each other's women and all that stuff. I'm related to myself. Go back far enough, taking each other as slaves. Well, you know, at some point you have to move on. And so, under the guise of equality, racial equality, and correcting racial inequality, the pendulum swung the other way. And we've all seen this. We've all talked about this. And this seems to be the crux of his messages. And so I don't know. I have not seen anything related to white supremacy or anything else, but they got him labeled lynched as a white supremacist. I'm not seeing him being affiliated with, I mean, you could say the same thing because how many KKK voted for President Trump? So basically that's what these guys are doing. Well, Cecily first said, we're not going to have him speak because we denounce racism in all its forms and blah, 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 blah. And later on, she realized, hold on a minute. She says, the Spokane County GOP remains committed to standing against white supremacy, racism, and bigotry in all forms. We will always support a free society where individuals are judged on the content of their character rather than the color of their skin. So she said, all such situation as a lesson to more thoroughly research individuals before giving them a platform to speak. She could be heard at the end of the Northwest Grassroots video telling Alsup, okay, we really appreciate you. Because she wanted to give him the opportunity to tell his side of the story. She wants to have him tell his side of the story, and so she ends up resigning because of the pressure from the Democrats, believe it or not. Okay, so now fast forward to this week. Now, this is what I've not thoroughly researched, and I'm going to spend some time on this coming week because I want to come back to this. Because Sheriff Ozzy Knezovich, now I'm not sure if you remember who that is. He's the one who helped form the Department of Homeland Security Fusion Center during the previous administration under the president who will not be named. He's also the one, this Ozzy Knezovich, comes across as a reasonable, level-headed guy, but he's also the one that brought in the SPLC as a subject matter expert to talk to his department on domestic extremism. And what did we just hear at the beginning of this presentation? A slide with information provided by the SPLC on religious extremists with evangelical Christians right at the very top. And of course, anybody who stands against the expansion of homosexuality and the advancement of it, you know, any kind of sexual deviancy, and you stand against it because you want to stand on moral principles, now you're a homophobe, which is also a religious extremist group, apparently, according to the SPLC. So this sheriff has brought in the SPLC, subject matter experts, to educate his sheriff's department on domestic extremist threats. The same sheriff's department whose deputy a couple years ago explained to a lady while they were doing a public demonstration at a mall showing off the military MRAP, the mine-resistant armored vehicle, when asked why they need military armored vehicles, his response was that there are a lot of constitutionalists and armed people in the area. Now, don't quote me on that. That's not a direct quote, but he used those words, constitutionalists and lots of armed people or lots of people with guns in this area, and well, constitutionalists. Now, where in the world would he get the idea that they need a mine-resistant armored personnel carrier for the sheriff's department because there's so many constitutionalists in the area? What in the world? Did the sheriff's deputy not take an oath to uphold and defend the Constitution against all enemies, foreign and domestic? So this sheriff is sitting down with a former, has been, Senator John Smith, no relation, to talk about domestic extremism. And this is the title of his series of videos that he's done, For the Soul of America, a look at white supremacy and white nationalists in the Spokane region. So they start name dropping. Representative Matt Shea, the people from Marble, anti-Jew, anti-Israel. And then they tie it into the 51st state in the Liberty State. And they're like, is this what you call liberty? I could not believe my eyes and ears. And the sheriff says, these people want a civil war. They want that to happen. I'm quoting. He says, it's time to drop the hate. If you want to, he said, I'm all for a liberty state too, but I'm not for violence. What? What the? I could not believe it. I could not, this stinking, foul, double tongue thing coming across as all reasonable. Oh, we want, he says, he asked this John Smith, former senator, who apparently says he knows the Marble people, and they told him that he was of Satan if he didn't support them and all this stuff. He says, there's a problem and that, you know, that it leads to violence. And he says, I have to laugh when I hear conversations about liberty, you know, the state of liberty, because, so, you know, somebody's his fellow senator when he was senator come up with several proposals for a new state. He said, and he supports those. All those are good, but he doesn't support violence. Where in the world are you getting violence? He says, I'm not opposed to a new state, but what I'm opposed to is violence. That's what this John Smith guy says. They're sitting there doing a radio show, and it's videoed, and I watched the video of this. And this Sheriff Ozzie Knezovich comes on and says, we can only do better if we work together, both the left and the right. He says, well, you know, we can't, but not violence. We can have liberty, but we can't have liberty state because Matt Shea, Representative Matt Shea's involved and the people from Marble support it. Tons of people support it. The folks from Marble aren't directly involved with liberty state at all, other than they support it like 75% of the other people in the area. And he says the Aryan nations, the Aussie Knezovich goes on to say, Aryan nations believe all who are opposed to Israel are the good guys. He said, this show wasn't designed to make people upset. It was intended to inform. Really? How about misinform? This is misinformation. You just completely did an SPLC twist, taking the Liberty State movement of good, God-fearing people who want to hold on to conservative values. And you even said yourself, Sheriff, that Seattle and Portland have lost their minds. And you're not opposed to the idea of Eastern Washington becoming another state, but not violence, not this liberty state. What? He says, I hate to see my nation pulled apart. Well, you're contributing to it. And he said, we can only do better if we work together, the left and the right. But the reason why the state of Washington is torn asunder is because the left and the right cannot work together. They're incompatible. One side wants morals and the other side wants to do away with morals. One wants to teach your children that to bring in two homosexual men to come into your children's school to teach them about true love. And you don't want your children exposed to that. So how are you going to work together? Sometimes you just have to break the ties and say, our values are so incompatible. We're not tearing things apart. He says, I hate to see my nation pulled apart. We have a heart problem in this country, he says. And I can tell you that hate was never a part of what made our country great. You're absolutely right. But here's the twisted part that you can't wrap your mind around, Sheriff Ozzie Knezovich. Who are the ones who are hating? Our nation was founded as a Christian nation. We hold to these Christian fundamental values and beliefs. Our Constitution was drafted on biblical principles. And we're going along, minding our business, being Americans. And somebody else comes along and says, we don't like this new system anymore. We want to upend it. And we say, no, we want to save it. And now we're hating and we're the ones causing division. Why don't you turn your attention to the people who are truly causing the division, Sheriff? And stop calling it hate when we want to stand for American founding principles and morals and our values, because the communists are the ones who said we cannot take America down until we undermine their values, their institutions, of higher learning, their institute, their educational and their religious institutions, and their morals of their society. We have to completely upend this as part of their platform. And this sheriff even said earlier in one of the segments that that the left is using the same tactics. So he acknowledges that. But then he goes on to malign. He's got it. Well, first of all, he's got a serious how do I word this? He's got an issue with Representative Matt Shea. They've been bumping heads for several years now. So he's just all too happy to take in this John Smith, this reformed white supremacist, or some guy that was raised in white supremacy, or and has broken away. He's got a new heart now, and so he's saying that I'll tell you what, the people at Marble, I have been in private conversations with them and meetings with them, and I can tell you absolutely, honestly, and unequivocally, I've been in meetings and leadership meetings and meetings about our country and the direction that things are going with Representative Matt Shea, with Representative Heather Scott, the folks from Marble, with Pastor Shiram Hadian, and many, many others. And I have never, ever heard anything anti-Jew, anti-Israel, or white supremacist, or anything like this ever brought up by anybody in any of these meetings. And we spoke very candidly about our feelings about the way that the country is going. I've never heard anybody bring up anything about this. In fact, Marble has, I mean, they've had Pastor Matthew Cummings. He's a black pastor from Chicago, raised under, taught under Bill Ayers, under communism, introduced into communism, broke free from it, born again Christian, speaking against the previous president who will not be named, and their tactics, and Hillary Clinton and these people, and he's speaking against it, and he's tied in with the folks from Marble, and they love him. He loves them. He fits. He's a Christian man. Who cares what color his skin is? Nobody cares. Nobody from Marble cares. And not to mention the other mixed races and blacks and other people that are part of Marble community. These people are out of their minds that are falsely accusing these people of some agenda. Oh, but they've talked about taking over the county politics. Yes, Christ told us to occupy. Of course we want to take over the local politics across the American Redoubt. We want God-fearing, liberty-loving people in those positions representing the majority of us. And the majority of us stand for those principles. But now they're being maligned. These guys are anti-Jew. They're anti-Israel. They're white separatist, white supremacist. They're Aryan nation. They're just throwing all these labels on the 51st state. I mean, just completely fabricating this. I could not believe what I was seeing. This is the epitome of spiritual warfare. And this little weasel, John Smith, and this little weasel, Ozzy Knezovich, the sheriff, they've crossed the line. They have maligned friends of mine. They have said things about friends of mine that are untrue, that I know are untrue because I know their hearts, because we've had meetings together late night. We've talked about everything, trying to solve all world problems, talking about economy, talking about economics, talking about political, socio-political issues, talking about laws that we can try to get passed. Of course, we want to try to back elected officials at all levels of government that will go forward and represent those traditional American values and ideals. But now it's some kind of evil conspiracy, some white separatist conspiracy, when you've got people that are involved that are not white, that are key players, key members of this. This is just incredible. Anyway, I'm going to watch the rest of the series. I'm going to put everything together. I'm livid. I'm just absolutely, these people are recklessly irresponsible, accusing people of something that if that existed, I would have seen it by now. For the past several years, I have been on camping trips with these people. I have been around the campfire. We've talked at people's homes. We've talked about how to advance a liberty state and form a new constitution and what we would have in it that possibly the founding fathers overlooked, and things to, you know, stopgap measures to stop communism and anti-American agenda from being advanced. Never, ever, not one time was race ever brought up, or Jews or Israel or matter of fact, everybody that I know of are pro-Israel. You couldn't get more pro-Israel. I would not associate with a group that engages in the stuff that they're being accused of. And of course, they're accusing me of this too, because I'm very much involved in the Liberty State movement. And they're basically saying these people that are associated with the Liberty State movement, they're this, that, and the next thing. I'm like, oh, you're wrong. You're a liar. I know you're a liar. You know how I know you're a liar? Because I know me, and I know my heart, and I know the things I believe in, and I know that they're true, and I know what you're saying is not. You're liars. But you're so smooth. Smooth as oil. Oh, we just want our country to be great. I hate to see the division. I just hate to see it. You know, we just can't have hate. Now, I'm all for Liberty State, but I'm not for violence. I'm all for a 51st state in Eastern Washington breaking off, but I'm just not for violence. I can't support this Liberty State thing. Where are you even coming up with this stuff? You're going to be held accountable for that. You realize that? Watch your words. You're going to be standing on Judgment Day on the carpet, giving an account like we all are. And this is just pure wrong. This is as wrong can be. Anyway, I'm going to watch these videos. I'm going to take lots of notes. I'm going to be covering this in depth next week. I'm going to be covering this, and probably actually on ACN. On Liberty Broadcasting, because the people in Spokane need to hear it on the AM and FM dial. It's right here in their community. They need to hear it. They need to hear pushback. We cannot stand and for this. We cannot not push back when we're faced with these kind of lies. Unacceptable. We'll be back.
Patriot isn't easy. It takes work. And I see too many conservatives, even patriotic people, taking our remaining liberty for granted. Most are happy to just float along enjoying freedom. Freedoms that were hard won and fought for by others at great sacrifice. But most conservative Americans do little or nothing to keep what's left. We often hear people say we need to take back America. But if we can't even hold the line and don't stop losing ground, how can we expect to ever take anything back? Thomas Paine said, "Those who expect to reap the blessings of freedom must, like men, undergo the fatigue of supporting it." He didn't say undergoing the fatigue of supporting it was a great idea. And he didn't say maybe we should. He said we must. But maybe we've come to a point where even patriotic citizens don't want to do anything that might fatigue them. If that doesn't change soon, well, one day we'll be saying, "Remember freedom? Wasn't it nice?" I'm Violette Sabo, with points to ponder, words to live by, and ideals which define us.
Welcome back to the fourth and final segment here at Radio Free Redoubt. Segment four is brought to you by Works Holsters. That's Works LLC. Go to works.com, W-E-R-K-Z, to find out how you can get your custom-made holster made right here in the American Redoubt with a lifetime guarantee on all their products. With some cool stuff coming out. Speaking of Liberty State and Works Holsters, got that to look forward to. Very exciting. Okay, now, this segment, I wanted to do an after action review, but that's something that because of this week, this transition phase trip that I took this week, kind of took up the time that I needed to work on. Plus my phone died. My phone processor went out and I can't, it won't boot up. So the apps that I have for talking to some of my key senior Amaron core operators for going through some of this stuff for the AAR, it died. I'm trying to recover it. It's just, what a mess. What an absolute mess. So that's the other thing that it's on my list to deal with this coming week. But I definitely want to get a good after action review put together for you. There is there's one letter that I got. I'll share a couple things with you here. And I'm going to be talking more about this Washington State Cascadia Rising exercise is going to be coming up in 2022. Lots of stuff's going to start happening that I'm finally excited about this. And I've been saying that for a while, you know, offline to a lot of the Amaron and Amaron Core operators. Because my absence has been felt. It affected T-Rex 2018, and I like I said, I'm just so grateful for the hard work that all the volunteers did to make T-Rex 2018 even happen at all. So I braced myself for some of the harsh criticism and feedback that I knew was sure to come, and it did, but. What was really cool about it was that so many people, they see the mission. They see the necessity of they see that everything that Amaron is and has become and still can be, as it continues to grow, the potential for it is just amazing. And what an amazing group of people and an organization. And the mission is definitely right on track. The mission statement is the intent and the purpose is right. But it has faltered because of me. So that's on my shoulders to fix a lot of this stuff. And we got some really, really good feedback. But this guy threw some stuff out that I wanted to address here real quick. He says, he took the online after action review AAR survey, but had some thoughts that weren't conducive to smartphone typing. So I appreciate this. Why? Because people really, truly want to make it better. Like, this is such an awesome thing. Let's make it even better. And here's my input. And here's some of my observations. And so that's what he was throwing out there. But he asked, let's see, a couple of things I'm going to hit, and then I'll wrap things up. I'm going to do a better after action review for you next week. He said, Amaron is attempting to manage a line of communication, regional and national SIG centers. Why is none of this mentioned in the SOI? Well, okay, the SOI was developed before the development of signals centers or SIG sends. So it's not mentioned in the SOI because it's a new development. And it won't be mentioned in the SOI even when the new SOI is released because the SOI, the signals operating instructions, are instructions for you to operate your radio in emergency communications. It's basically where to meet up when, what frequency, what mode, what time, what window do I wait for? And it's to give you instructions on how to link up with others in the network in case of a major emergency situation. Signal centers or SIG sends are a command and control support element, a totally different component made up of Amaron operators, but that the SIG sends are specifically designed to help with operational and strategic level communications. In other words, let's say your county does not even have Aries Racy's a program in your county, or maybe you got one or two operators. They just cannot handle the scope and size of the situation. Your signal center is designed to help those so the sheriff and emergency operations people in your county can coordinate with the next county over or regionally what's going on big picture. And they're made up of radio operators and intelligence gathering and processing called the ACE, the Analysis and Control Element, It's a team of people that are handling a lot of information to assist with leadership elements for command and control, the strategic and operational level communications. Now, they do monitor the SOI, and they are instructed to jump in when, say, there is no net control or nobody seems to be running the net, because they have the manpower typically. Then they will jump in and act as net control operators to make sure that the nets happen, because they're already there and they're online. But they're doing other stuff off to the side. It's just something else that Ameron is also doing. Okay, so somehow that got bled over, and some people thought, I need to contact the SIGSEN, and you don't. You don't need to, because they're doing something else. But they're tied in to the network, and they're there. They're kind of like a, I don't want to say a ghost element, but they're kind of they're doing other tasks. So hopefully that helps a little bit. Guidance on message traffic. All of the traffic during T-Rex was too verbose. This is an artifact of the organization's over-reliance on digital modes. No, actually, that's not true. It is. It goes right back to your title of your statement, guidance on message traffic. There's a lack of guidance, and that's on me. The guidance should direct them to remove anything not necessary, any superfluous information, and strip that down to a most basic form. And he goes on to say, I challenge you to show a piece of message traffic that could not be reduced in half without losing content. Examples can be provided upon request. Well, thank you for the offer, but examples are not necessary, because I feel you, brother. I know exactly what you're saying, and you are absolutely correct. They need to be taught how they need to be taught to do that, and then they need to be taught how to do that. And that is something that is definitely on the list for additional training and guidance coming up. You can do the same thing in voice or digital. No question about it. Digital simply used to get through, because voice doesn't. For station check-ins, I want to know two things: the status of the general area and their status as a station. Green, yellow, red, straight out of the Aries playbook. I agree. And this will be addressed, because what it is that we are using is right out of the, probably Army Mars playbook, where they do ask for all the infrastructure and all of that. What we did is we just adapted that to Ameron use, but we are going to be streamlining the stat rep, the county status report. So in your county, what's going on in your immediate area, and what's your situation in your station? And, let us know that. Update the SOI. Yes, absolutely. That's been on my to-do list for quite a while, and that is definitely going to be happening very soon. It's way long overdue, but I'm going to be consulting several key Ameron Core operators before we do release that, because we want to do it right. Do not rely on signal centers. Amen. You should not be relying on signal centers. Who relies on signal centers? Your local elected officials, your community leaders, your pastor of the church who's running a emergency shelter, and other leadership elements, command and control elements, who are not otherwise supported by anyone else with communication support. And they need to talk to the next county over, or state level, regional level, whatever it is. And there is no other communications to do that strategic and operational level communications. Those are the people who should be relying on signal centers. Your typical Joe American Ameron operator or person listening in the network should not be relying on signal centers. Completely different role. And again, that's a failure point on my part for not delineating that or separating that. We had a little bit of a little problem where that got bled over into the masses that it shouldn't have been. So it led to some confusion. So we're going to be cleaning that up. Okay, maritime, mobile time, noontime, farm net, make it work every day of the year. Because we're talking about band conditions suck, voice is difficult, check. Okay, but then he goes on to say, we can't use that as an excuse, because maritime, mobile, noontime, and farm net make it work every day of the year. That's true. They use voice nets. However, the reason why we use digital is because band conditions are so bad, you basically can't use voice. And right after T-Rex, I was participating in the Noontime Nets and the Maritime Net as well. And guess what? Everybody that you could hear was using high power. That means 500, 1,000, or 1,500 watts of power. Everyone else was unreadable. It was a common theme that was discussed on the Maritime Net and the Noontime Net. I just can't hear him. I can hear a voice, but I can't make him out. Well, that's because band conditions were so horrible. Now, there were a few guys that could hear each other just fine, and they're talking like they're on their cell phones. But guess what? They're running power. And in an emergency grid down situation, we ask people not to use high power because it's going to more closely simulate a real-world situation where most people will not have the availability of high power. You're going to have to do it barefoot, 100 watts or less, and you're going to have to make it happen. And sometimes you just simply can't make it happen. Why? Because the band conditions are so bad, which is why we use digital communications, because they get through when voice doesn't. Simple as that. I know it's more logistics. You got to use an external sound card. You got to use a laptop. There's more points of failure, yada, yada. But when it's working, it is the only way to go. And I can tell you from firsthand experience, being in real world deployment situations, if we didn't have digital, we would not have been able to do the business that we were able to do. Not to mention sending the time cards for the firefighters to the U.S. Forest Service by the deadline so they could get paid. That definitely had to go over email, winlink.org, from our remote station. And you're not going to do that over voice. It's just not happening. There are some things where there's just no substitute for digital. Okay, guys, I'm going to wrap this up, and there's going to be more coming. You have a blessed week. Thank you all for being out there. Appreciate your prayers, your support, your financial support, your letters of encouragement, and especially your emails and input for how we can improve and just keep getting better. We're all on the same team, right? Right. Okay. I'm John Jacob Schmidt. My name is your name too. Good night.